In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's Gospel, Christ enters the city of Jericho, and he encounters a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We know when we hear this Gospel that the Lenten season is just around the corner, and we begin to prepare ourselves. The Holy Apostle and Evangelist Luke describes Zacchaeus as a chief tax collector and rich. He was probably the most despised person in the city. Tax collectors were considered traitors because they were Jews who collected taxes on behalf of their occupiers, the Roman Empire. And in the process, out of their greed and love for money, they cheated their own people by collecting more taxes than required. When we hear the reference in the Gospel that he was short of stature, we should also hear it as a reference to his character. Not only was Zacchaeus a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. St. Gregory Palama says that this shows that he was distinguished for his wickedness. So one might ask the question, of all the people in the crowd that day, why would Christ choose to single out Zacchaeus for a personal visit to his home? I'm sure there were plenty of righteous people Christ could have chosen from in the crowd. And to that one could answer, Christ came not for the righteous, but for sinners. But I'm sure there were plenty of sinners in the crowd on that day as well. But why did Christ choose Zacchaeus? In the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, upon whom shall I look, if not upon him who is humble and meek? Zacchaeus exhibited humility and meekness more than anyone else in the crowd on that day. And this is what attracted the attention of Christ. I want you to think for a moment. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. This guy was a big deal in Jericho. People were afraid of him. He had Roman soldiers as personal bodyguards. Just imagine a man of his status, a man of his authority, a man of his influence, climbed up into a sycamore tree because he desired to see Jesus. A grown man of his status climbing a tree like a child. That takes humility. Our Lord said, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Christ recognized the humility it took for a man like Zacchaeus to climb a tree in order to see him. Zacchaeus did not care what others would think of him. He did not care that they might call him a fool. Brothers and sisters, the greatest tool we have in our pursuit of Christ is humility. Do we have the humility of Zacchaeus? Oftentimes, as Christians, we find it difficult even to make the sign of the cross in public or to wear our cross. People will think I'm weird or religious. We refuse to ask forgiveness because it'll make us look weak. Some find it difficult to kiss the hand of the bishop or the priest, thinking that somehow they're above or beyond that. Zacchaeus desired to see Christ, and in order to do that, he humbled himself to the point of climbing a tree like a child. He cared more about what God thought than what man thought. Now, it may have been that up to that point, Zacchaeus didn't express any humility. But on that day, at the presence of the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Theanthropos, the uncreated one, Zacchaeus humbled himself, and in his humility, Christ was able to work in him. Nothing attracts Christ more than humility. It is the mother of all virtue, as the Holy Fathers teach. The Apostle James in his epistle writes that God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. Of all the people in the crowd, Christ chose to go to the house of Zacchaeus. Humility invites Christ into our hearts and into our homes. Humility softens the heart so that God's grace can penetrate. And we see at the end of today's gospel reading, humility produces true and authentic repentance in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus gave half of his goods to the poor, and those he cheated, he repaid fourfold. Upon witnessing the repentance of Zacchaeus, Christ said, "Today salvation has come to this house." Do you see the result of humility? Humility attracts Christ. It opens you up to his grace, and it produces in you authentic repentance unto salvation. And not only for you, but for your household. The grace of God within you can overflow from you upon your home, upon your family. Remember what Saint Seraphim of Sarov said, "Acquire the Holy Spirit and 1,000 around you will be saved." The grace of God will fill you and overflow and affect the people around you. But we must be careful, because the opposite is true. If you refuse to humble yourself, you open yourself up to unholy spirits, demonic spirits, and these spirits can also overflow upon your home and your family. I'd like to turn now briefly to the response of the crowd upon hearing Christ's intention to visit the house of Zacchaeus. We read in the gospel that when the crowd witnessed this interaction, that they all murmured and said, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." My beloved family, if humility is the greatest tool in our pursuit of Christ, then one of the greatest obstacles we face is the temptation to judge and condemn others, because it completely undermines any effort towards humility. Our Lord and Savior, as well as the Holy Apostles, they teach us throughout the pages of the New Testament that judging others leads to our own condemnation. Saint Gregory of Sinai teaches that if you seek humility, there are three things that you must keep in mind. First, that you are the worst of sinners. Second, that you are the most despicable of all creatures, since your state is an unnatural one due to your sins. And third, that you are even more pitiable than the demons, because you are a slave to them. Wow, those are harsh words. But this is what we call, in the Orthodox tradition, self-reproach. Remembering our own sinfulness keeps us from being puffed up and keeps us from focusing on the sins of other people, because we see ourselves for who we are, sinners. The fathers of the church also remind us that we might see the sins of others, but we do not see their repentance. Saint Dorotheos of Gaza asks, "How do you know what tears he has shed about his sins before God? You may well know about the sin, but do you know about the repentance?" It is only God who can judge the heart of men. And what will our judging and condemning do? Will it benefit anyone? Not only do we condemn ourselves when we judge, but we may also prevent the repentance of others. One of my favorite quotes from Metropolitan Anthony Bloom of blessed memory reads like this: unless we look at a person and see the beauty there is in this person, we can contribute nothing to them. One does not help a person by discerning what is wrong, what is ugly, what is distorted. Christ looked at everyone he met, at the prostitute, at the thief, and he saw the beauty hidden there. Perhaps it was distorted, perhaps it was damaged, but it was beauty nonetheless. And what Christ did was call out that beauty. When we judge and condemn, we are unable to call out the beauty of people, and we may actually hinder their repentance. That's what St. Paul reminds us in his epistle to the Galatians. He says that if anyone is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. It was the love and compassion and humility and gentleness of Christ that led to the repentance of Zacchaeus. How can we transform anyone if all we do is judge and gossip and condemn, if all we do is accuse and murmur? Not only do we bring condemnation upon ourselves, but we fail in our responsibility to make Christ present to others by how we live our life. It is humility that will attract Christ and draw the grace of God, so that we can transform people around us, starting with those of our own household. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.